You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Because I can. Oh, there it goes. Yes. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to be with you all here this morning to share with you briefly. For those of you who know me, I'm big on communication, and there was this communication theorist named Walter Fisher, and he created this theory called the narrative paradigm, and it simply suggests that human beings at our core, at our heart, we are all storytellers. We love to tell stories, we love to hear stories, we speak in stories. And he went on to contend that when you're trying to persuade someone, that a good story is more powerful than a good argument. And so this morning, I want to persuade you all to truly be open to what God has for you while you're here at Bethel. Whether you're a senior who's about to graduate soon, or you're a freshman, or you're one of our newly admitted students. We all have plans about why we're here at Bethel, why we're coming to Bethel. Can we be open that God may have a bigger plan? So I want to share two stories with you this morning that I think is going to help drive home this point. The first story is going to be found in the book of John, chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles or your cell phones or your iPads, or just open your ears, but more important, open your hearts. We're going to get into this story in John chapter 9. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. May your spirit lead us to all truth. May we gain understanding. May we gain application, that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to use this story in John chapter 9. I'm not going to exegete it and break it down line by line the way I would normally do at our service for time purposes. But I'm primarily using this story to lay a background as a backdrop for a different story I'm going to share later on. But this is the story of a blind man who receives sight. And in John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it reads, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." And I think it's important that we don't just gloss over that. Most of us who have any type of ailment, any type of injury, any type of struggle, we can relate to those struggles, but not many of us can relate to a physical struggle, a major struggle that we had from day one. So here's someone who was blind from birth. So just imagine what that meant from day one up until this day, all the things, all the obstacles, all the stigma, all the struggles that would be associated, especially back then before the modern day technology that we have, of someone being blind from day one. So they don't know what it's like to have seen. And it says, Jesus passed by and saw this person, and the disciples asked, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Because part of their theological belief back then in some circles was that if you had this type of ailment, if you had this type of suffering, especially from birth, it had to be due to someone's sin. So did he sin, or was it his parents who sinned? Please give us an understanding of why this person would have this punishment, this consequence of being blind. Then Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." So he's already establishing, I don't want y'all to focus on who did what. I don't want y'all to focus on whether this is a consequence of sin or why he is blind. I want you to shift your focus and know that God is about to do something that's going to make it all make sense. That sometimes we go through things, sometimes even from birth, there are certain struggles that exist, but God has a plan and he's going to use that for his glory. So how could we know that God is God if we don't need God in our lives? How can we know that God is a miracle worker, a healer, someone who can set us free if we think that we already got it going on? We want the things of God, but we don't want to be put in a position where we truly need those things. So he says, as long as we are here, we must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming and no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he simply tells his disciples that there is work to be done. And as long as I am in this earth, I'm going to do that Father's work. There's a time coming when I have to leave, but while I'm here, while there is daytime, and by the way, I am the one who's going to give the light, so every time I go, there's light. There's a time to be doing God's work. And when he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. It's important that we note this blind man did not go around seeking Jesus. We read that he was just doing this thing. Jesus passed by and Jesus initiates this meeting. Why is that important? Because I know, just based upon some of the conversations I've had with some of you all, that some of you aren't seeking Jesus. And that's all right, because I wasn't seeking Jesus either. What's more important is that God saw us. As he passed by, he saw us in whatever situation we found ourselves in, and he met us. But then there's a level of obedience where he tells this blind man to go do something, to go bathe in this pool, which is translated sent. When God sends us to do something, when we're obedient, we don't come back the same way we left. We can't have an encounter with Christ and remain how we were before we met Christ. So it says he comes back seeing. And therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not the one who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others says, he is like him. One of the coolest things you can ever experience in life is when you meet Christ and when you go back to people who knew you before you met Christ and they can barely recognize you. Isn't this the one who, no, this ain't the one who used to do these things, who used to beg because he was blind and did all these things. No, that's not him. That's one like him, because the one, it can't be him or it can't be her, because we knew them before they left, and that's not them. If we claim to have met Christ and we go back to where we were before and the people don't and they recognize us as the person we were before we left, that's a problem. And this blind man said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how are your eyes opened? Now they're curious. They know he wasn't blind. Like, tell us what happened. And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then they said, where is he? He says, I do not know. So notice when they ask him, how did this happen? He says, a man called Jesus. And then they ask him, where is he? And he says, I don't know. So here's someone who cannot even fully articulate who he has experienced. It's just a man called Jesus. He doesn't say the Messiah. He doesn't say the Son of Man. He doesn't say the Son of God. He doesn't say the great I am. Where is he at? Introduces, I don't even know where he's at. You would think that we would go to theological school really quickly and learn all the things. That way when someone asks us, hey, how did you go from being blind to seeing, and we can articulate and break down all the theology and all the doctrine. He's not there yet. We don't know if he ever gets there. One thing we do know is he's saying, hey, a man called Jesus did this thing for me. I was blind and now I'm able to see. So they brought him formerly who was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was on the Sabbath, so this is their lawful day of rest. When Jesus had made the clay and opened his eyes, so Jesus did what would be considered some work on the lawful day of rest. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight, and he said to him, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see. The story is getting more succinct. He's not elaborate. He's just saying, I keep telling y'all the story. He put the clay on my eyes, I washed, I see. What more do you want me to say? Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath, referring to Christ. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. Then they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? The blind man says, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received their sight. So here you have a blind man who just experienced the greatest day of his life. He has an encounter with Christ. He was blind and now he's seen. And you would hope that everyone who knew his story would be moved by his story. They would rejoice with him. They would want to experience what he's experienced. Yet here you have this group of individuals who are seeing this and they can't get past the fact that it happened on the Sabbath. They can't get past the fact that here's this Jesus guy again causing all this trouble. And here's another person who is now being touched by him. We got to do something about this. So they keep grilling him, and they want him to give the answer that they want to hear, but he can't help but to give the answer about his story. So it says they don't believe him until they talked to his parents. And they asked his parents, is this your son, who you say was born blind? So now it's not that he was. Now y'all saying he born blind. Now we're questioning whether he was really born blind. You know why that's dangerous? Sometimes as believers, we have this tendency to know for a fact what God has done for us, but then we begin to second guess, was I really born blind? I don't know if you've been saved so long that you forget what it was like when you were sinning. And now you have revisionist history about how bad it was for us. Was I really blind? Did I really need that type of healing? So they're questioning his parents. You say he was born blind, but is that really true? And they said, is this your son who you say that was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and says, we know for a fact that this is our son and that he was born blind. By what means he is now able to see, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself. So here you have the parents, they're only speaking about that which they know. They're not adding to their story. They're saying he's a grown man. Ask him. Because they knew one thing that we should all know, and that is no one can tell your story the way that you can tell your story. Not even the people who knew you from birth can attest to what Christ has truly done in your lives if you have in fact met Christ. So they called this man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. You would think that they're asking that he would testify to the goodness of God. But they're saying, give God the glory. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. Why is that so important? Once again, you have this man who is not, he said, I can't vouch for Christ in all things. I just met the man. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I don't know all of his history. I can't articulate all of who Jesus Christ is. Sometimes we get in trouble when we try to talk about Christ, but we don't know who he really is, and we actually do more harm than good. Here you have someone that says, I'm not even going to attempt to talk about who this man is and what he has done. So whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, I once was blind, now I see. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Break it down theologically. I can't break it down theologically. Tell us about Jesus. I can't tell you much about Jesus. What I can tell you, though, is I was blind, and because of him, now I see. Then they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he asked them, I told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Why do you keep asking about Jesus? Do you want to become a follower? If not, quit asking me this question. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said, why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from? Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was blind. So it's saying what has happened today has never happened before, yet y'all focusing on all the wrong things. If this man were not from God, could he do this thing? They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. So here you have this blind man testifying about the goodness of God, and they can't get past the fact that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He told his story, but he realized that sometimes your story that gives God glory is not the story that everyone wants to hear. I want to transition briefly to tell you another story. Briefly, my story. And before I begin, I would say that part of my motivation today when I was praying about what to speak about, how to share, was, once again, stories are powerful. I want to encourage you all, but I specifically want to talk to the students who have a story similar to mine in terms of Bethel was not your first choice. Bethel was not on my radar. And I came to Bethel as a non-Christian. And the reason why this story is so profound for me, many of you may not know this by looking at me today, but I too was born blind from birth. Did y'all know that? No, see, you learned something new. I was born blind from birth. Not physically speaking, I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually born blind from birth. And because I could not spiritually see, I could not accurately see what God, who he was, I could not accurately see what God was doing. And because I could not accurately see God, I could not accurately see myself. And because I could not see myself, I could not see how others saw me. And then instead of seeking God or seeking to see, I simply sought to be seen. And when I sought to be seen, I got involved in a lot of destructive behaviors. In my effort to be seen, I started drinking at an early age. So drinking alcohol. I eventually started smoking weed. at an early age, smoking weed. Then I eventually started having sex. So, and before y'all get too judgmental, I was simply a blind person doing what blind people do, spiritually speaking. And lo and behold, through a weird set of circumstances, I found myself here at Bethel. And when I got to Bethel, I was still spiritually blind, still doing spiritually blind things. So while I was here at Bethel my freshman year, I was still drinking, still smoking weed, still having sex, still partying, still doing all those things, although I had signed the lifestyle covenant saying I wouldn't do those things. But being spiritually blind, I didn't see my signature as I signed it, hoping they didn't see it either. And I did what spiritually blind people do. But then I met Jesus. And I didn't meet Jesus because I was seeking him out, because if anything, I was trying to get away from Jesus and anyone who was trying to promote Jesus, especially Courtney Richards. If y'all know Courtney Richards, he would always come, Theo, let me talk to you about Jesus. And I'm like, campus security, there's a strange man stalking me. But on a Tuesday night, Spiritual Emphasis Week, my freshman year, for the first time, I met Jesus. And after that, everything changed. Everything changed. And I remember going back and telling people back home about what had happened, and some believed me, and some, my mom told me, when I told her what had happened to me, she was like, you got those people at Bethel fooled, don't you? She saw me, and she was like, no, I think that's him. No, that's not him. But I stayed consistent to my story, although I couldn't articulate what happened, how it happened, why it happened. One thing was a fact, and that was I once was blind, but then I saw. My eyes were open. Although that's not why I came to Bethel for one reason only, that was to play basketball. God had a different story for me. And so now, and this is not to toot my horn, but I truly believe that I could be the poster child of what can happen if you come to Bethel and you're open to what God can do for you. Someone who came in, didn't fit in from a race standpoint, from a diversity standpoint, non-Christian male black athlete. And on top of that, I tore my ACL, so now I'm a non-Christian black male athlete with no athleticism. So the reason why I came is no longer the reason. For all intents and purposes, I should not have made it. But there's something that happens that when you truly meet Christ, all things change. So if you don't get anything out of anything I've said this morning, get this. Many of you have come for many different reasons. And some of you have a similar story to mine in a lot of regards. And all of you have the same story in this regard. You too were also born blind from birth. Because that spiritual blindness is simply a byproduct of a very, very common disease called sin. And we were all born with it. Some of you have met Christ on the road before you got here. And praise the Lord for you. But there are some of you, and I know for a fact because I've talked to some of you, who have not yet met Christ. There are some of you who, if you're honest, will admit that you are still spiritually blind. There are some of you, if you're honest, if I were to take a survey right now, Rhetorical question. You don't got to raise your hand. Anybody out here drinking? Drinking, anyone? All right. Anybody front row, back row? Anybody smoking marijuana? Okay. You taking note of this, Sean? This is a great campus. You see this? I see a lot of y'all walking hand, holding hands, which is good, but any of y'all having sex by chance? Ooh, they got real awkward. So none of y'all having sex. Is that y'all's story? All right, that's good. That's good. We're all laughing and getting awkward, and some of the visiting students are like, what did we get ourselves into? But how can we truly promote that God is the God who he said he is? And how can we truly promote that Bethel is the university that we say we are, yet we pretend that we don't need God and we don't need what Bethel can offer? Because according to you all are doing A-OK. None of us have any symptoms of our spiritual blindness that need to be addressed, according to the survey I took. But let's just assume, for the sake of this speech, that some of you still are doing some of those things. If we're honest, how can we blame you when you're spiritually blind doing what spiritually blind people do? But if that is you, I would encourage that regardless of why you came to Bethel, whether it was for a particular program, for a particular athletic team, you came because your girlfriend or your boyfriend came, you came because your parents went here or your siblings, regardless of why you are here, are you open to the possibility that God has a different plan for you and your story? And it doesn't mean from this day forward you have to seek him. That would be great. But if you're not seeking him, you can still be found because he's seeking you. So I encourage you all, if you want to hear more about my story, if you want to hear about some other stories, please reach out. But more than anything, I want you all to be open to the fact that we are all at one time in our lives spiritually blind, and there is someone who can allow us to see. Someone who's not going to judge, was it the parents or was it he who sinned? Let's not worry about the reason why. Just know that God is going to be glorified when you see the end product. I think that could be in a brochure. Come to Bethel blind and then see. Or put it on a t-shirt. Just make sure I get credit. Come to Bethel blind and see. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that because of your story, we now have a story, and that our stories can be shared as testimonies to help others in their stories, Lord. Forgive us in all the ways in which we've been like the Pharisees, where we saw people who met you, and instead of rejoicing, we hated. Forgive us in all the ways in which we were disobedient. Forgive us of all the ways in which we did not recognize you. Forgive us for all the ways in which we were content in staying spiritually blind. But most importantly, we thank you that while we were blind, while we could not see you clearly, you never lost sight of us. I pray that my testimony, my candor, my truthfulness, my openness will be used by you, that if there are any who are still spiritually blind, any who do not yet know you, that they would know that without judgment, without condemnation, that they can too have their eyes opened. May we be an institution that embraces such a one who was blind, and may we live our lives in such a way as to point to the one who can make all blind people see. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.